Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wonder Podcast, the podcast where we break down and review films all in one big, long, unbroken take. I'm Austin Archer, and with me, as always, is my childhood next-door neighbor and lifelong best friend,
Kramer England.
Okay, all right, we're back to the world of the dinosaurs.
Yes, back. It felt really quick.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Dominion didn't come out that long ago.
It's like 2 years ago.
Yeah. It was, and even when they announced this, because we're going to be reviewing Jurassic World Afterbirth, Jurassic World Rebirth. Mm-hmm. If you want to know that joke, follow or just listen to our episode.
Previous episode.
Week, but yeah.
Callback. That's a callback, baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even when they announced it, because they were going to have someone else direct it. One of the John Wick guys, he was going to direct it. And then they decided, you know, he couldn't do it or whatever. And then Gareth Evans came on, and that was like a year. Edwards, thank you. Yeah. Sorry. I swear that was like a year ago. It's probably longer than that, but still, like, it was such a quick turnaround.
Yeah, not a bad team here. Gareth Edwards and David Koepp, who wrote the screenplay for the first Jurassic Park movie.
Yep.
And David Koepp, who has two of my favorite screenplays of this year so far, of 2025. Yep. He wrote Presence, which we talked about on this channel, and he wrote Black Bag, which we didn't talk about, but Black Bag was great too.
Yeah.
And David Koepp's, I mean, like, three big movies that, you know, or I guess, you know, this is obviously the biggest one.
Yeah.
But so we're going to do a kind of a new thing on the channel here that we haven't been doing before, but we're sort of doing our spoiler-free talk about the film in the first 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And that'll be posted as a separate video if you just want to watch the spoiler-free stuff. And then in our full length, we will get into spoilers. So we are in the spoiler-free section of talking about Jurassic World Rebirth. What were your just sort of general feelings about this entry?
So my general feelings were that I was not expecting a lot. It's my son's birthday today, and he wanted to come and see this movie. So I saw it at, you know, 4:30 today. So I'm pretty fresh off the boat, you know, watching it. So my biggest thing was I wanted to have a good time. I wanted to have fun. And I saw it with, all my kids, and I saw it with my 5-year-old daughter was on my lap, which is funny because I think I told you this story, but when Jurassic Park first came out in 1993, I saw it in the theater twice with my family, and I was shaking on my dad's lap the entire time, both times.
Yeah.
And this was kind of like the same. My daughter was like screaming, like audibly screaming in the theater.
It is one of those movies where, like, I saw that movie three times in the theater as a kid, and we were like 6-7 years old.
Yep.
And I remember it. I remember.
Oh yeah, me too.
I remember pulling my legs up when the raptor jumps to go bite the girl's legs as she's pulled it. I remember. I saw it at a drive-in. And it was like seeing that in the car and seeing the T-Rex scene in the car.
Oh yeah,
and being in it. You know, I mean, as a young kid, I vividly remember it.
Yeah.
And I similarly, my expectations for this film were in the gutter. I had no expectations.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have a good time. And, you know, I feel like sometimes there's movies where you, like, when the movie was over, I was like, hey, I can't walk out of that movie and go, that was terrible. The same way I kind of felt about Dominion.
Yes.
Where I was like, that was a bad movie. That was really bad. Or the same way I felt after Fallen Kingdom, where it was like, wow, that movie really fell off the rails. I couldn't walk out of Rebirth and say they really did a terrible job there, but I just felt so kind of indifferent. Even having low expectations, I just was kind of like, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I definitely was like, they could have done a worse job for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
With the movie.
Yeah. I felt the same way. I walked out, my kids had fun. Their friends had, you know, everybody had fun. I had fun, but it wasn't like, about halfway through the movie, I was like, the best score this could get for me subjectively is a 7. And it didn't really reach that. I'll get to that later, but like, it was fun. But I think the biggest problem that this has, just as a general problem, is it has too many characters.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get into that, I think, as we get into the plot. But and a lot of people have been saying this. There's specifically a whole group of characters that I think most people who watch the movie are like, please just cut them out of the movie. There's a whole group of people in the movie that everyone's just like, we just don't need them. Yeah. We just, as soon as we got to them, I keep seeing this over and over and over again in online talk where people are like, oh, why? Like, as soon as they showed up, it's like, oh no. Oh no. Yeah. Now we, you know, and it's, I mean, here's the thing is sometimes there's movies like this where I sort of feel like, hey, that was fine. They did a pretty good job. Like the reason why this movie exists is because, and I've seen this from a lot of people too, where they're like, there's no reason for this story to exist as far as, like, there's not like a good storytelling reason why we need to come back to the world of Jurassic Park in the movies. Yeah. Other than that, it's a very lucrative property for Universal Pictures. It's a movie that it's a property that has the ability to bankroll lots of projects for that studio. Your prediction when we talked about this movie on our predictions for top movies of 2025 is that it would make $1 billion. I think you're right. It made $320 million in its opening weekend. Had a massive opening weekend, and honestly, like, from a business standpoint in the film industry, that's a good enough reason to make a movie for a studio. If you can make $320 million in your opening weekend, they're going to keep making these. And if it is going to be that way where it's like, we're making it because the money's so good, you could do worse than Jurassic World Rebirth.
You could. I think you're totally right. I mean, we all, you know, so many times we wish that there were more original movies and things like that. But when these sequels and, you know, reboots and everything are making this much money, studios have to keep giving it to us,
right?
Because that's what the majority of people will see. And this is something that, you know, like, I mean, honestly, just like you said, this is better than Dominion. And this is for sure better than Fallen Kingdom. Like, It's a fun movie. It's not perfect. It's not the best in the series. It's not the worst in the series. But hey, it was fun.
Well, and as I said, you could definitely do worse than Rebirth.
Yeah.
I also think you could definitely do better. Yes. And there are, you know, so this is something we can talk about without getting into spoilers. This can stay in our spoiler-free review because it's in all of the trailers. And this is a problem that I have with movies more and more, especially movies like this. And I talked about this in our prediction sequence, I think, too, where it's like, it's got the same problem that Captain America Brave New World has, where it's like, obviously this movie Brave New World wanted the Red Hulk to be a reveal, but it was on all of their marketing.
Yeah.
And with the first trailer I saw for Jurassic World Rebirth, when it showed the scene of what I'm calling the Rancor, because it looks like the Rancor from Return of the Jedi.
I think that's exactly what they wanted it to look like.
Yeah, and it is 100% the Rancor. Yeah. The first when it showed that dinosaur in like the lab grabbing the scientist, I immediately was like, well, that's the opening scene of the movie. I know that that's our cold open. And then it showed the scene of Mahershala Ali flashing a red flare at it. And I was like, and that's the finale. And I knew that from what I just was like, I know that the cold open is this thing's going to break out and it's going to be like, this happened on an island where they were doing an experiment on dinosaurs and creating mutant dinosaurs. Cause I can see that it's not a normal dinosaur from the trailer. And then the scene with the flare, I was like, that's going to be our finale.
Yeah.
And I guess this is sort of a spoiler, but it's not because it was in it's on all the posters. Like in the theater that I was seeing it in, they had this dinosaur on a poster. And I just was like, okay, you know, like, this is kind of your thing for this movie. This, they call it the D-Rex.
The D-Rex, and
This is kind of your big thing. Is, like, would it kill you to try to surprise me a little bit here with this thing? I don't know.
Yeah, you are exactly, and that's what I thought too. I was like, oh yeah, there's the open, there's the close, and we'll get into it more in the spoiler discussion, but I thought something else was going to happen as well, so.
But it's like, that should be a spoiler, but it's not.
Yeah.
Because the movie spoiled it. Like, they spoiled it in the marketing. And so I think we can safely put that in the spoiler-free
element. No, for sure. Like, it's all over. You can see it.
Yeah.
Like, you can, and unless you have not seen a trailer, then I'm sorry, but you know, yeah, by that point, it's probably everybody who's seen the movie who didn't intentionally watch the trailer. So anyway, but yeah, they spoiled a lot, and it was, you know,
and I mean, that's the other thing I'll say too about this before we get into our spoiler section of the review is just even, you know, like being able to watch the trailer and predict those beats. Mm-hmm. The movie is, as you're watching it, it's hard to, there were very few sequences that surprised me in any way. Absolutely. I just was sitting there kind of going like, I just kind of felt like it was pretty much just giving me like, yeah, this is, yeah. Yep. Yep. And then yeah. There's, yeah.
And absolutely. And this is a spoiler free thing. I knew who was going to die.
Sure.
Like the entire movie.
Of course we did.
And I kept telling my daughter, she's going to make it or he's going to make it. It's not, you know, and she, you know, I was like, this is okay. They're going to get out alive. Don't worry. Like that, you know, yeah. I could basically walk her through it to try and help her. So she wasn't so scared, but
yeah,
it was
literally gave us a bunch of Star Trek red shirts that they were just like, these are the characters that are disposable. And it was like, yep. Yeah, of course, obviously movie.
Yeah.
What is this? We're seven films in now. Is this the seventh or eighth?
Yes. Seven.
Cause there were three and three. Is the start of, I guess, a new trilogy.
Probably.
And again, so that's kind of, I think, my spoiler free thoughts. I don't know if you have anything else, but my spoiler free thoughts on Rebirth are you could do worse. And also I think you could do better, but
yes, yeah. I think that is that's like the perfect summary of the movie. Could have been worse. Could have been a lot better, but you know what? I had fun. So
yeah, I definitely, like I said, it's like, you know, it mostly delivered.
Yeah.
My expectations were very low. I think if you go see this in the theater, keep those expectations low.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you should, like I said, you could do worse for your money.
Yeah. Yeah. You could. Yeah. And I mean, hey, the visuals are amazing. I mean, sure. All these movies have been great. And this one as well. Gareth Edwards is an amazing visual storyteller. You know, even though The Creator was one of the dumbest movies I've seen, it was visually amazing.
I liked The Creator.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, I was mad by so many other things. But
it's very simple.
Anyway, we should talk about that one sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
But it, you know, he knows how to show things visually. And anyway, it was so, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Let's get into spoiler talk.
Yeah, okay. So, spoiler alert, we're going, if you have not seen Jurassic World Rebirth, it's in theaters right now. If you'd like to go watch it and then join us for the full edition with the spoilers and with our scores and all of that, you can check out our full review with all of the spoilers. So, as the trailer tells us, this movie has a cold open where it's 17 years ago from, I guess, now 2025.
Yeah, this was weird. Because they go 17 years and then they show the scene and then they're like, you know, it's been 32 years. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's been 32 years since 1993. But it was kind of a weird thing. Anyway, sorry.
I think what they're saying is that it's like after, you know, Jurassic World was the park was able to open.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's this thing right off the bat, you know, so we're in a lab on another island. There seem to just be more and more
islands,
hidden islands with dinosaurs. Yeah. Every new movie we get, every new trilogy, we find out there's more islands with more dinosaurs. But we're in a lab where they're doing genetic experiments, where they're trying to create some kind of like how they did with the Indominus Rex.
Yes.
In Jurassic World, it was sort of like splicing and making something new. Yep. This is an island where they're trying to make new, more exciting dinosaurs. And I will say that right off the bat, I find this whole storyline that they injected the Jurassic World, not the Jurassic Park franchise, but the Jurassic World specifically franchise with, this storyline that humans are just bored of the boilerplate traditional dinosaurs. Yep. So we've got to make new, cooler ones. Because what it is the movie is saying that to us as the audience. Mm-hmm. And not only is it not true in real life that human beings would get sick of looking at a Triceratops or a T-Rex or a raptor at a zoo. Like that's just not true. It's not true. Like we're not sick of looking at rhinoceroses
or lions or tigers.
Yeah, like yeah. I find this storyline that they decided to go with for these movies, and they're stuck with it now. Like,
yeah,
they have painted themselves into a corner. That one of the big driving things from Jurassic World on was people are kind of tired of seeing just regular old dinosaurs, so we've got to make new ones. But I'm like, not only is it not true in real life that we get tired of seeing exotic animals, and especially if dinosaurs had only been reincarnated for 32 years, like,
yeah.
I really don't think people would be over.
There's 8 billion people in the world.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them who would want to see a dinosaur. Right. Not 8 billion people didn't come and see the dinosaurs over 32 years.
And what this movie and what these specifically the Jurassic World movies seem to be telling the audience is we got to keep coming up with new dinosaurs for you guys because you guys are bored of the old ones. And I'm like, but we keep seeing these movies. Like these movies keep making $1 billion. So I don't know where you're getting this idea that we're tired of raptors and T-Rexes. We're not. Like,
no.
I will watch a movie with just Brontosaurus. I talked to my brother Adam about it, and he was like, I think this franchise at this point has done enough things that we would happily go see a movie that's just about a person who like gets stuck on an island for a night and just has to survive the night, and you pare it way down and it's just this person versus a raptor.
Yeah.
And it's just like a really paired, like, and they're just waiting for like a rescue ship to come in the morning, and it's just them surviving the night against like
a raptor.
You know, like I don't see that the audience for these films is going, you better have a new weird kind of dinosaur for me. Or like, I don't see that we're actually saying that. It's just the movie telling us like, well, we got to come up with a new dinosaur for you guys. And it's like, you don't like,
no.
There
are a ton of, the T-Rex scene in this movie was fun. Like, I'm fine watching that. Cause that's fun. But yeah, I totally agree. That is the biggest jump that you have to make in this movie. Now, luckily somebody told me that before I saw it. They're like, oh, the dumbest thing is that they start the movie out by saying, you know, people aren't interested in dinosaurs anymore. And we had basically the exact same conversation. And so I was at least prepared for that, but it is really like, people are not bored by dinosaurs. And this is the weird thing, because it says 17 years ago, that's when the movie opens.
Yeah.
But Jurassic World came out in 2015. Like, I saw that actually right before my son's, whose birthday it was today. I saw that right before he was born. Like, that was the movie we saw before he was born. So it's only been 10 years. And he's like, people were getting mad, so we had to create dinosaurs. Like, what is this 17 years? Why did they say 17?
Why didn't they say seven? Maybe this is the lab where they were developing what became the Indominus Rex. Who knows? Or I don't know.
Like, the timeline is not making sense.
Yeah. But. And honestly, I don't really care.
Yeah, but I don't care either.
This is a movie that the more I think about it since I saw it, the more it bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, I walked out of the theater and I went, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of like, you know, that's fine. But the more I think about it, the more I'm just like, what a cynical, like genuinely... It reminded me a lot of The Matrix Resurrections, where Lana Wachowski did not want another director to take on her property. And she was mad that Warner Brothers was like, we are going to make another Matrix movie with or without you. And so she was like, fine, I'll do it. But then she made a movie where like the entire movie is just her being like, I don't want to make this stupid movie.
Yeah.
So it's just her kind of like almost chastising the studio and the audience for like forcing her into this situation. And I'm like, hey, if you don't want to like, cause again, it's like, obviously Warner Brothers is going to want to make more Matrix movies. They have properties that will make them money, that will bankroll their studio. And that's one of them. If you don't want to make the new Matrix movie, then let someone who wants to make it, make it, you know? And that, like, David Koepp being the guy who wrote the screenplay for the original one, there's so much cynicism in this movie. Like, the whole storyline is everyone that's there is there for money. Like, Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali are like, we would not be here if we were not getting paid a lot of money. And that's literally the storyline for their characters. It's just like, the only reason any of us are here is because we're getting money.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
Jonathan Bailey's the only one who's not there for money. And he wins everybody over.
Right.
Which is, again, this is a movie that you shouldn't think about too much.
Right. But yeah, so I do want to talk a little bit about this prologue, this cold open.
Yeah,
where we're in this, we're, you know, because Anthony, my brother, brought this up, and I was like, "Yeah, you're totally right. That's so stupid." So this guy,
the same thing. Yeah,
yeah. This guy's eating a Snickers bar, and. And he drops the wrapper on the ground, and they're like, you know, there's this like system like where they have to turn keys at the same time to open up these very secure doors, and the wrapper gets sucked into like a vent. And it'd be one thing if it was just like that one door gets jammed because the wrapper goes into the vent.
Yeah,
it shuts down the entire containment system for this entire. I was like, the entire containment for this entire facility gets gets breached because of this one candy wrapper going into a vent. Like,
I thought that was the dumbest thing. Yeah. And even in the movie, I was like, this is so dumb. Are you serious?
Yeah.
A candy, like a Snickers wrapper. Like, David Kep is either like, let me think of the dumbest thing I could come up with. And everybody was like, yeah, that's good. And he's like, oh, okay. Or he was like, I don't know. Or he hates Snickers. And
or is there?
I don't know.
It felt like a thing from like a Final Destination movie, you know?
Totally.
Like where it's just like, oh, like this happens, and then you slip on a puddle, and then you know,
Like
this Rube Goldberg esque like.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he's trying to make a commentary as a writer about like the butterfly effect and like evolution. Possibly. That it's like one little small thing going wrong in this.
That could be.
Complex system, you know, the hubris of man that we've built this state-of-the-art facility with millions of dollars, and the whole thing is taken down by one little thing. Get it? You know, I can see that, but it's just like, hey, maybe it's just that one door gets jammed. But the fact that the entire facility was like, oh, we're shut down, you know.
Well, and also like, how big was that vent, and how could it make it makes an explosion?
Yeah.
It makes an explode. This was the dumbest thing. I literally was like, really?
Yeah. Like, and
that makes no sense.
But that's our inciting incident for this film. Yep. The D-Rex gets out. I mean, the Rancor from Return of the Jedi gets out. And I do like the look of this thing grabbing onto this scientist and picking him up and chowing down.
I actually really, besides the Snickers bar.
Yeah.
If you could just find a different way to have that all happen.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. Like he's, and the guy's performance, he's like, you know, they have to do 3, 2, 1, you know, and turn the key, and he's telling her, you know, and she sees it, and she's all scared, and he's like crying, like, please open the door for me. Right. And this is in one of the trailers. Like, it's great. I actually was like,
yeah,
this is fun. Like, yeah. Great way to open, like great way to show the scary dinosaur. And
I'll also say this. I think that this franchise might be primed to have maybe an entry at some point that's rated R. Because sometimes this stuff, like where a monster grabs a guy, and I just want to see him get ripped in half. You know, like I want to see it.
You know, and I said this earlier. Like I knew who was going to die and who wasn't.
Yeah.
This is the other thing about all the deaths. They weren't that great. Like I understand like what you're saying, if they made a rated R movie of a Jurassic World movie or whatever, they'd have to do it for a very small budget, but you could make it really fun in that way that you're talking about. Right. But like, even in the PG-13 versions, like in Jurassic Park 3, the dude is on the tarmac and he's like, please stop the plane. Right. And the Spinosaurus comes out and eats the guy as he's running away. And then blood splatters all over the windshield.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh, like that each death was like, oh yeah, he's going to die right now. And then
I kind of felt like all the deaths involving the D-Rex, which I guess are two that we see in the movie ultimately.
Yes.
Were fun. I liked those.
Yeah, those ones were good.
But yeah, the others were just sort of like, it was just like, dinosaurs just kind of ate that guy. Yeah, just like, you know.
Oh, it's like, and a Spinosaurus is killing a girl and you don't even see it.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, so we go to, I guess, New York City, and it's just this world where we find out that dinosaurs, you know, in the previous trilogy, they had sort of inhabited all of the world. They had spread out across the world. And what we're finding out now is that they're having a hard time surviving in areas that are not close to the equator because of climate change and things like that. Yeah. And they're just not adapting to the state of the world, but also, yeah, just this weird thing where people are just sort of like over, like there's just like a brontosaurus dying in the street in New York and people are like, get it out of the way, move it. And nobody wants to be like, it's a brontosaurus, dude. Yeah. Like, yeah. I just like, if I lived in New York City and I was in traffic and somebody said, there's an elephant up there that's dying in the street.
Really?
I'd get out of my car and be like, what?
Yeah.
How did this elephant
get out of the zoo?
Yeah. Right. I wouldn't just be like, oh, geez, another brontosaurus. Like, yeah. You know, like, I don't care how many dinosaurs I've seen. Every time I see one, I'm going to be like.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
It. Yeah. And I mean, I felt the exact same way. This movie starts out very standardly. Rupert Friend is the bad guy.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought he's going to die.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Scarlett Johansson is a mercenary pretty much. And he offers her an obscene amount of money, $10 million to, you know, go and extract dinosaur blood because they have to be living in order to get it so that they can make a cure for heart disease or that will prolong heart disease for 20 years, which
I kind of liked this way in.
I did too.
Yeah.
And I actually liked the structure of it because it was like, we have three dinosaurs that we need to get their blood or their embryos or whatever they, you know, and it's a Mosasaurus. It's a Titanosaurus. Yeah. Titanosaurus. Like that, yeah. And then one of the pterodactyl things. And I forgot what it was, but those three, it's like, okay, so we're going to have three sequences where we have to get those things from the dinosaurs. And I actually really liked that part of the structure. I thought, this is really easy to follow. And also it makes me look forward to each one.
Well, and I also like that it's so, you know, this franchise has the same kind of problem that like the Alien franchise has, which is just like rich corporations. It's like, stop trying to tame the xenomorph. Stop it.
Yeah.
It's never going to work. No. And if this was just going to be another movie where they were like, we think we figured out how to like get the dinosaurs to work for us. I like that instead of them being like, because all the dinosaurs live basically on these islands that are close to the equator where the climate is closer to what it was back when they used to live 65 million years ago. But all of these places are forbidden. It's illegal to go there. So they're basically just like a no man's land. But I like that this particular rich, greedy corporation was a pharmaceutical corporation. Yeah. And they wanted to develop medicine for people. They weren't going there going like, hey, let's capture a raptor and bring it back and figure, you know, like, I like that the motive at least seemed like it was new and it kind of seemed like there was a potentially like, noble.
Yeah. Yeah. Goal. I think that the corporation as a whole is probably wanting to do something good. Rupert Friend is just a dirtbag. But he's the face.
I mean, the corporation,
I agree.
The corporation does want to price gouge medicine and make as much money as they possibly can off of it. But, but they still want to like ultimately like make a medicine that could potentially,
Could help people. Yeah. And I agree with you that like, oh, this is a good way into this story.
Yeah.
Cause it was a lot better than we're going to have raptors in the military.
Yeah. Like. But then, he convinces Scarlett Johansson to go on the mission because he is going to pay her $10 million, which again, like the movie's just going like the only reason anyone's here, the only reason Scarlett Johansson, the actor is here is because we paid her $10 million up front with also probably, you know, a back end point. Probably. So literally the screenplay is being like on the nose with this thing.
Yeah.
But I did find the way that they convinced Jonathan Bailey to go pretty weak. Like this is a guy who this like Jonathan Bailey is our, you know, Sam Neill in this. He's the passionate paleontologist who really cares about, but the way that Rupert Friend convinces him is he's like, have you ever seen a dinosaur in the wild? And it's like, I've seen lots of dinosaurs. Like we've been living with dinosaurs. Like I've seen plenty of, and he's like, but have you ever seen them in their real habitat? And he's like,
yeah,
I gotta go. But I'm just like, if I'm that guy, I'm like, bro, I literally work with dinosaurs every single day. I don't need to go to the jungle to die to let, you know, like when it's Sam Neill in the original one, it's like the cell there is like a guy who's only ever dreamed of seeing a real, you know, when he sees that Brontosaurus in the 1993 movie and he grabs Laura Dern's head, and like, for them, it's like, this is, this is a lifelong dream come true.
Yeah.
For Jonathan Bailey in this movie, it's like, I don't know that the reward outweighs the risk for his character.
No, I totally agree. And also, you know, he was a weird character to kind of like, he was just kind of a weird character because this has a protagonist. This movie has a protagonist problem.
Yeah.
Because they don't know who the protagonist is.
Yeah.
Because like at certain points I was like, oh, this would be better if Mahershala Ali was the protagonist.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, it would be great if Scarlett Johansson was the protagonist. And then Jonathan Bailey, you know, but then it just has too many characters that all have too many things going on.
Yeah, we haven't even got into the other people.
No, the family was
the
like
family.
So like I really like Scarlett Johansson's character. I really like Mahershala Ali's character. Jonathan Bailey, I love him as an actor.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like, is your character like a nerd or a jerk or like altruistic? Like he is altruistic and in the end like but it was hard for me to latch onto him as a character cuz I didn't really love him, but I didn't hate him, but it was just kind of, it was a weird character.
I just feel like there's always this guy in a Jurassic movie who's like the, you know, like Chris Pratt became the guy who was like, I'm passionate about the animals.
Yeah.
You know, there's always that character who's like, well, I'm passionate about them as animals, you know?
And
I'm like, the thing about Ellie Sadler and Dr. Grant in the first one is they didn't know what they were getting themselves into.
No.
They were like, they had no idea they were going to an island to see real live dinosaurs.
Right.
And so when we're experiencing that movie through their eyes, it's like everything up until the T-Rex breaks out of that enclosure is just, it's like, I mean, we feel the excitement with them. Yeah. All the characters in this movie, the reason why I say this movie is so cynical and the more I think about it, the less I like it is because like, nobody really wants to be there. Everyone's just there because they're getting paid. Yeah. And then Jonathan Bailey's like supposed to be our character who's like, wow, the magic of this place. And I'm still like, why would you care at this point? You've been working with dinosaurs your entire life, real live dinosaurs. Like, I just don't, you know, and you know how absolutely insanely dangerous where you're going is. And I don't think that somebody could convince you to do it by just being like, you'll get to see dinosaurs. He's like, it's like, so, you know? But so anyway, whatever, everybody buys in.
We have
to go and get Mahershala Ali, and we have to get some dino food in Mahershala Ali's crew because we need more people to kill in the movie, and Mahershala Ali's gonna be
that's a great way to put it.
We need more people to kill, so Mahershala Ali's got a team of people and a boat, and they sort of scam
Rupert
into giving them more money.
Is it Rupert Friend or is it Friend? I always want to call him Friend. Whoever, Rupert, we'll just call you Rupert.
Yeah,
he's like, this was also the other thing, like Gareth Edwards, we won't get into him too much, but he's good in some ways. In other ways, there were just too many times where I'm like, this scene is taking too long, and like this isn't, the pacing of this movie was really good overall, but like he it seems like he really wanted to try and like focus on these like character moments, or like, so they get to the island and Mahershala Ali is like, oh, I can't do it anymore, like I'm really sorry, and then Scarlett Johansson's like, oh man, that's so sad, like, well, what if you pay me twice as much and you know, I'll take it out of mine and I'll give it to him, and he's like, oh okay, you're just trying to swindle me, like fine, that's fine, whatever. So they get 20 million now, I guess.
Yeah,
but like this whole scene took way too long. I was like, I get what you're doing. Just do it.
Right. You're totally right. Yeah.
And then like there were character scenes as well where they're just talking and I'm like, I get it. Move on.
Yeah. Cause then Francis from Deadpool shows up.
Yeah.
And he tries to do the same scan and they're like, oh, we already, you know, and like, that's kind of a funny joke that she's like, oh no, we already ran the scam.
Yeah.
But like, also like, this was a weird role for Francis from Deadpool to have. I thought that he was going to be in the movie for longer. Like I assumed he was, as soon as he showed up, I was like, he's dead.
Oh yeah, sure. Me too. Yep, he's gone.
Boy, he died fast.
he died faster than I thought as well. Yeah. Ed Skrein, I think, is Ed's Skrein or Skrein or.
I thought he'd at least make it to the island, but anyway.
Me too. He doesn't.
we're off to these islands to, we got to get exactly. We know what the goal is. We got to get blood from the Mosasaur. We got to get blood from the Titanosaur. And we got to get blood from the condor, whatever it is, this giant pterodactyl thing. And I just really, it's so much stuff with this franchise where they feel like there's certain things they have to do. Yeah. Like, I guess they just feel like, in order to have a winning formula for a good Jurassic movie, there's got to be kids. And so we're off on the way, and all of a sudden the movie stops and we go and find this family in a sailboat that's on a trip. And immediately I was like, oh, I don't want, I immediately was like, I don't want these people in the movie.
Yeah.
And I just was, and I knew immediately, like, they're going to be, this is going to be our other, like, this is going to be our B storyline is like our, like, Scarlett Johansson and her team are going to have to take care of this family, and we're going to have to follow these kids, and we're going to have to, like, because some, I guess they just, they've got to find a way in Jurassic movies to have like a little kid involved in it. You know, the first one's obviously got Joseph Mazzello and his sister. The second one's got Jeff Goldblum's daughter. The third one's got the little kid that's lost
somehow up, you know, made it through the island and got T-Rex pee.
Yep, the fourth one's got Bryce Dallas Howard's nephews. Yeah. Like, they've just always got to have, and I just am like, you know, you don't have to do that. Like,
no, you don't.
It's okay if for one of these movies, like, I just think that the movie has enough characters with just Scarlett Johansson and this special ops team trying to get this mission done. Yeah. I think let's just go, movie. Let's, you know.
Yeah, and I really would have liked to have just seen them. Just keep it on them, because I actually really liked this, the things that they had to do. You could have made it, I mean, it could have worked completely fine without the family. And I mean, the family, the actors themselves didn't do a bad job.
Yeah.
They did fine, you know, and it was, there were some scenes that were interesting, but overall it felt also like two different stories going on from two different movies.
Yeah. And it's like, and also, again, the movie slowed way down when we transitioned to this family. We had like a long scene where the little girl's eating her candy, and then the teenage daughter comes out. We've got this whole back and forth with her and her boyfriend, who it's his turn to steer the ship, but he doesn't want to do it. And we were like in this scene for a long time where I'm going, I know what's going to happen. Like, the Mosasaur is going to come and attack them. I know that. Let's just get to it. And I kind of would have been maybe okay with this family if, like, in this first attack, several of them had died. Like, I think that, like, if this had been but what's crazy is the Mosasaur comes and attacks them with the help of these Spinosaurs that are helping the Mosasaur hunt. And I didn't mind this sequence. I kind of thought that they did a night.
No, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is the Mosasaur capsizes their ship, flips it over, and then just leaves them alone.
Yeah.
And they, I guess, survive the night just sitting on top of their capsized sailboat.
They do.
And I just thought that was kind of crazy.
I did too. I agree with you. So this is my one, I got this one wrong. So the boyfriend is like a total loser, you think. Yeah. And like, I was like, I told my daughter, I was like, oh, he's going to get eaten.
Yeah.
But he ended up not being, but ultimately I think they should have eaten him, because like, in the end, he doesn't really add much story.
The movie seems like it's going to do like a little bit of a redemption arc.
Right. And it never pays it off.
It's like the best thing that Xavier does is he jumps in the water after his girlfriend at that one point. She kind of shows the dad like, hey, I'm really willing to.
Yeah.
But I still was like, I still feel like Xavier sucks by the end of the movie.
And I'm just like, does. Yeah.
I don't know.
And they basically forget about him after that point. You know, he comes in every so often, but he's really not doing anything.
Yeah, and he's kind of there as like comic relief and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought that I thought this little girl's performance was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I thought she did great.
I thought the little girl was like really, really solid in the movie. But I will say, it's crazy how Dora the Explorer she was.
Like, I thought that too.
Backpack. I was like, especially that there's like a Dora the Explorer movie out on Paramount Plus right now. And I'm just like, we've got like a Latina little girl with a backpack and like a little animal friend. Yeah. And I just was like, and we're like in the jungle. I just was like, how is this not, how are we not fully doing Dora the Explorer here?
Yeah.
But, but anyway, they did.
It was a little weird. They capsize. And then like before this happens, we get a sense of, We have another scene which I felt just dragged on way too long, which is where we find out that Scarlett Johansson lost a friend on the last mission. And then also Mahershala Ali is divorced with his wife because they lost a son. We don't know how. It seems like it was hinted at that maybe he got killed by a dinosaur or something. I was wondering, you don't really know, but he's divorced. And again, it just took too long, but that's kind of why Mahershala Ali is like, they get a distress call and they pick up the family, and he is really protective of the kids because of that reason.
Yeah.
But I also felt like that's not really like a good enough reason. Like it was just kind of a weird, it felt like they were really trying to like give these characters character, but it was kind of also like a little too much again, where too much, you know, a protagonist problem.
Well, and but also the screenplay has a problem, because what the screenplay does is it puts these two groups of people together. Yeah. So like they like Scarlett Johansson's team has to go kind of off course and go pick these people up. And it's a problem. And Rupert Friend is annoyed because he's like, hey, I'm just the soulless, you know, corporation guy who just wants to make money. And he's annoyed that they have to go on this rescue mission because it's taking them off course and it's taking away time from their primary mission. But you think that this is going to be like a thing. It's like, okay, now the special ops team and this family are going to have to survive the island together. But then almost as soon as they come together, the movie separates them again. And now we've got two separate teams that were and it's basically two separate movies for most of the movie that we're following on the island. And we're watching like, and they have like very different tones. Like the movie with the family is a different movie than the movie with Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
And you know, and so it's like, I think it could work if we kept them together.
Would have been mixed. Yeah. And if they got separated later in the movie, because like you said, they pick them up and they're like, oh, thanks for saving us. And then it's like, oh, no, the Mosasaurus is after us.
Yeah.
And so they have to like, which is a fun sequence. They have to shoot the Mosasaurus from like 10 meters away. Really fun, you know, and I really liked that sequence and it looked great. Mosasaurus looked great. The Spinosauruses look great, too. They get the blood and everything. But then like right after that, it comes back for them and they like have to crash the boat into the land just to save themselves. And like you said, that families get separated. And so it's like, what's the point of having
this was like the girl falls off the boat while it's going like full speed. She falls into the ocean. Her boyfriend jumps out off after her. And this is another part where I was like, they're way too far out from shore for me to believably think that. And then the whole family like jumps off the boat because they want to be together.
Yeah.
But then like, we just have to believe that they swim like a mile in the ocean without getting eaten I just was like, they're so far out from shore when they jump ship.
Yeah.
And I just was kind of like, okay, whatever. Sure. Yeah. And all of them make it safely back to shore, but now they're separated. So Mahershala Ali has crashed his boat into the land and that team is, you know, they're trying to pull gear off the boat and the family is somewhere else. And now they're both going to have to try to, they know that there's this lab where and they're going to try to meet up back there.
Yeah. And even before this, that's when Ed Skrein dies.
While they're getting attacked by the Mosasaur, the Spinosaurus, he gets
that was quick. Like you said, that was just a quick death. I was expecting him to have a little bit more screen time.
But. Yeah, and there's kind of like this thing where they try to make him into, you know, where it's like he's talking about the guns that they've brought these and Jonathan Bailey's character's like, so what happens there? And he goes, oh, well, you know, it shuts down their motor function with like a tranquilizer. And he goes, and then what? And he's like, well, then they die. And he's like, well, I think it's immoral to kill.
No, it's a sin to kill dinosaurs.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, what do you think I'm here for? Do you not want, I genuinely was like, come on, dude. Like you're going into a dinosaur jungle with just like live giant reptiles that want to eat you.
Yeah.
Let the guy do his job. You know, let's not do this whole thing where it's like, and they try to make, you know, him out into the, like this bad guy who's, who he likes, but it's like, that's what do we, of course he's, anyway, but then the movie's like, don't worry, he gets killed really quick. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And another, then they get ashore. Another member of the crew is like packing stuff. She's trying to get stuff out of this pack.
Yeah.
And this Spinosaur stands up and comes up behind her. And this was one of those deaths where I think I was like, oh yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know. It was,
Yeah. Cause we don't even see it. Like she goes around, it's a huge thing that she's trying to get. It's like a huge supply thing. And, and then you just see it shaking and you hear her screaming and then like there's blood in the water and that's it.
Yeah.
It wasn't very great.
So anyway, now that, but the, from, for the next, you know, 45 minutes ish, maybe to even an hour on this island, we are separated in two different movies. And and I think it's a problem for this film to like, for us to have to constantly go back and forth between these two different storylines that have really different tones. And I mean, like just like a big part of the tone of the family is like the little girl, Dora, finds a baby Triceratops that she names Dolores and has this whole little subplot with like her and her like little pet baby and it's like this and Xavier's still just being his weird goofy self, and it's just such a different movie that they're all in versus the movie that Scarlett Johansson, where they've got this mission to like get the blood from these different animals, and they're just such different films where I'm like, I even think we could do one, or I think we could just, you could make a movie that's just this family that they're sailing and they get shipwrecked on a dinosaur island, and they've got to somehow, they find these pipes and they follow the pipes to a lab, and they've, and we could, that could just be the movie.
Totally.
And I would watch that movie, you know, but like I, we're watching literally like two movies at once and they're both very different. And and Scarlett Johansson and her team head in, and they're both movies are heading toward the same place.
Yeah.
But I did like this little, I kind of thought this was fun when Xavier goes pee and and these raptors show up behind him, and it's the only time in the movie that we actually get raptors in it, and they're stalking him from behind, and right as they're about to get to him, a giant condor, whatever they're called, you know.
This looked like a pteroraptor or something, like a pterodactyl raptor hybrid.
Lands on these raptors and slams into the ground, and I like that the kid just can hear it happening behind him, and, and it's all happening kind of out of focus behind him. I thought this was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah,
and then it flies away, and then he just keeps peeing, which was funny.
He's like, "Oh man, that was pretty funny. Great scene." Yeah, I thought, but like, man, I kind of wish we had raptors. We all love raptors. We do love.
The movie being like, you guys are sick of raptors and T-Rexes, right? It's like, no.
It's like, give us the raptors.
I don't know. I don't know who told you that. I don't know who told. Why do you think we keep coming to these movies?
Give us the raptors. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a funny, honestly. But after that, what did the family? Oh, they had the T-Rex scene. I mean, this is what happens to the family. What we just talked about, and then they have to find a boat, and I mean the two stories are cross cut, but we'll just do the family and then we'll do the other one. So they find a boat. The daughter, the older daughter, has to go over and swim, and you know there's a oh, what are they called?
A life raft.
No, well, there's a life raft, but the dinosaur that shows up.
Oh, it's a T-Rex.
It's a Dilophosaurus, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The one that kills Newman.
Yeah.
In the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the one that kills Newman in the first one shows up. And it's just like a little cameo. But then it gets scared off because
T-Rex. Of the T-Rex.
And I kind of like this seeing T-Rex like asleep. I was like, that's kind of fun. So there's this sequence. This is kind of fun that she's got to sort of sneak by and try not to wake up the T-Rex with this raft. But I did think it was kind of crazy that she then inflates the thing like as it's waking up, you know, right in its face. And I was like, boy, that's the worst thing you could possibly do in a T-Rex's face. But I like what Gareth Edwards does here, where it inflates and it almost makes the T-Rex disappear. And then when the raft falls over, the T-Rex is gone. So now we don't know where it is.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah,
but yeah, this dad, even though his leg was hurt, it drove me nuts how much of the movie he spent hiding, going like this to his kids, or go. I was like, dude, get in there, like you know.
Yep, exactly.
But yeah, then the family, they get in the raft. They have this kind of fun sequence with the T-Rex where it's chasing them down a river and
I guess this was like when Steven Spielberg was like talking to David Koepp about like, hey, we're gonna do another Jurassic Park movie. He's like, I guess Steven Spielberg was like, we've got to find a way to do the raft scene. I guess it's in the book or something, or in one of the books. And he was, so they, this is how, which also made me think like, did you just have the family so that you could do that scene?
Right.
But anyway, it is a fun sequence. They open the raft, they all get in the raft, and then the T-Rex starts coming after them. And then it gets deep, the water gets deep. So it starts swimming after them. And at one point they fall out of the boat and it almost grabs the dad's legs, which is again, just a fun sequence. And then the three of them, the older daughter, the dad and the boyfriend get into safety, but the daughter, the younger daughter is under the raft and the T-Rex like is trying to get at her, and you can see the teeth through the raft. And then
I liked that effect. That was
cool. And then this
but
part
it's also
was
like
actually,
how are the teeth not puncturing this
exactly
raft?
This is a strong raft.
Yeah,
but like it like stops, and then they think it's okay, and then all of a sudden this terrified my daughter. She screamed. Mm-hmm. Like it slams down so that it can actually bite the raft, and it does, but you know, the dad thinks she's dead, but then she's fine. And she kind of swims through this little hole. The T-Rex sticks its face through, but that's all it can fit through. And it can't get to him, so it goes away. A fun sequence. Again, this was like the edge of your seat, like, oh man, this is intense.
Yeah.
And then the raft somehow makes it. But fun sequence, but you know.
Well, and I'll say there's another thing that this movie kind of sets up that I don't think it really does as much as it could do, which is like, they set up the idea that this entire island is populated by like mutant rejects.
Yes. Yes.
And we see this through, we see different like weird mutant dinosaurs on this island. But I kind of thought, again, if we didn't have to split the time between the family and the other storyline, if it was just one or the other, I think that we could have had a movie that showed us a lot, just all different kinds of mutant, because we still got just like a lot of like pretty normal dinosaurs, but it's like, there's this sequence with, you know, so anyway, the family gets on the raft and they head off toward the, and that's kind of their storyline. They head off toward the lab with Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali and the team. They're like walking through this swamp, and we see this like kind of like snake-like thing that is, and we never get to see what this thing is.
That's right.
It seems kind of like some kind of weird mutant thing. And I was like, man, it would have been cool if it was like some weird, like octopus dinosaur thing.
Yeah.
Or,
that's
you know,
what I thought they were going to pay that off, but they never did.
They never really did. And I felt like the idea of them being on an island that's totally populated by mutant rejects, like two-headed dinosaurs. And I thought that's really cool. But the movie only really has the D-Rex and sort of those like weird, like raptor pterodactyl things that sort of make a big appearance, and everything else is kind of like just straight up, you know, T-Rex, raptors, pterodactyls, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, their storyline, they're heading off, and they're trying to find the titanosaurs next. And this sequence in the field that they have with the titanosaurs is pretty cool. We see dinosaurs hooking up. We get a little Marvin Gaye.
Little necking. Necking with the long necks, you know.
I don't know if you thought this entire sequence, I was thinking, how is everyone so confident that they're not going to just get whipped by these tails?
I was wondering that too. Yeah.
These tails are like 100 feet long and they are just whipping back and forth. And I was kind of like, how did these titanosaurs like hide and then appear? Because these things are the size of buildings and they're in like tall grass that's like, you know, chest high.
And then
all of a sudden there's like a whole giant flock and valley full of them. And I was like, I don't think that those just appear out of nowhere. I think you walk into that clearing and they are very clearly there. Even if they're sleeping, you can see them. But whatever, this is sort of Jonathan Bailey's like most exciting moment to be up close with these. And they look great. They're cool. They're big. They're exciting. Yeah. It's sort of one of those.
Of the three, this is the least exciting, but the most like awe-inspiring for the characters themselves. But I mean, they get it and then that's it. They move on and then they see where the... Oh man, I saw it. It's like Quetzalcoatlus or something. That's the pterosaur, the one that can fly.
Yeah.
So they see its nest and they go up, which this whole sequence was on the whole, this whole sequence was fun.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of it was weird, but they go up this huge mountain and they have to rappel down and they get into the nest of this pterosaur thing.
And see, I thought this whole sequence was just kind of like fine. It was just again, this is a Jurassic Park thing, is like hanging off of a cliff while, you know, they do it in the first one, they do it in the second one. And I felt like of all the hanging off the cliff Jurassic Park things, this was
one
of them.
I kind of like, though, when like two characters are hooked together and one falls and the other gets pulled. That's kind of like, I thought that was fun.
It overall was
fine. And then Mahershala Ali, there's a French guy that is with them, which immediately, you know, we all thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
So he's climbing up while this pterodactyl is trying to get him. When he gets to the top, he is being eaten, which was kind of a fun reveal.
Because Mahershala Ali's pulling him up. And by the time you see him getting up and then you see that he's actually being eaten by this thing.
Yeah.
And Mahershala Ali has found a little hidden staircase that they can go down, and they go down the... You know, I thought the staircase was going to be a bigger like reveal because he finds it. He's like, oh, look at this. What is this? You know?
Yeah. Why didn't it just go down?
I know. And then it just turned out it was just like, oh, you could have just taken the stairs. Like that whole sequence literally was just like, oh, you could have just taken the stairs. We didn't need to do any of this fancy rappelling, but whatever. They get down to the bottom. Now they've got all of their samples and now they got to make it to the fort.
Well, sorry. You skipped something he has to get the sample, he gets it, but then Jonathan Bailey falls. That is like 700 feet. I swear it was so high. He falls and I'm like, that guy's dead. But no, he falls and hits trees and he falls into the water and he's fine.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, whatever. Like, yeah, I guess sure, so. Yeah. Sure.
Why not? Okay. Why not? And anyway, I'm just trying to like speed run to the end. I'm like, okay, here we go. Good. Yeah, let's go. But that's how I literally feel like that watching them, where I'm just kind of like, all right, yeah, let's go. Okay, we got all the samples. Let's go. Yeah. Our A storyline, if you want to call Scarlett Johansson the A storyline, they're now heading to the lab, you know, because there's supposed to be a helicopter that's supposed to come by and check for them in the night. They get there at the same time that the family arrives, and our A storyline and our B storyline are reunited.
Yeah, but then they get separated again, like 5 minutes later.
Yeah, like immediately. And it's just like, I'm like, just let the, like, yeah, yeah. And what happens is all of these kind of like mutant, like, they're almost like half raptor, half, and I kind of thought the design for these were cool.
Yeah, they were okay, yeah.
They show up and we have like a little chase sequence.
You have a kitchen scene. From Jurassic Park. It's very, very similar to the kitchen scene. Yeah.
It just, as Ryan George said in his pitch meeting, it just has way more product placement. Which, by the way, I don't know if you like this. This is a franchise that's kind of known for its overt shameless product placement. Yeah. It's a big part of this franchise. This one, I was like, I noticed it again, like the cynicism of this film, where it's just like everyone's here for money. But like there were so many shots where it was just like this. It was like this thing, this candy bar.
Yeah,
you know, like,
we
open the wheel, it's like Snickers, you know, and then like when they're doing
Dr.
like
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, when they're doing like the negotiation scene, they were like went and got drinks and it was like Heineken. Like they like set the, you know, and then this whole scene, they're in like a shop that's just like Twix, M&Ms, like all the, you know.
Yeah.
I just was like, boy, we're really laying it on here.
Yeah, really, really.
But they do a little like they're in this like kind of like a 7-Eleven being stopped by the and they decide to go down into a drain, and then they get chased down in there, and they're like down in this tunnel system that's underneath.
And Jonathan Bailey and Mahershala Ali are together. They got separated, and then Rupert and Scarlett Johansson are kind of together, and we kind of skipped over this part, but the girl. The older daughter was falling out of the boat and Rupert could have saved her, but he didn't.
Right.
And so she wants to kill him, but he's got a gun. And this is like, oh, I'm the bad guy. And it's like, yeah, we already knew.
Yeah.
And then he kind of like gets in a car. He gets in a car and just like drives away for like 10 minutes.
I'm like, I don't know where he's going.
I didn't either, but he's got the samples in with him. He's got it handcuffed to his wrist.
Yeah.
And at this point, Jonathan Bailey wants to give the samples to everybody so that they can't, so that the pharmaceutical company can't just like price gouge everybody.
He wants to open source the medicine.
Yeah. 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 And so Scarlett Johansson is kind of, you know, high on that idea at the end, but he drives away. All the families get together, but Jonathan Bailey and Mahershala Ali see the D-Rex. They see the Rancor, and like, they see the helicopter. Jonathan Bailey flags it down, and he thinks it's coming, which was also kind of cool.
This reveal is cool. The helicopter's like in, there's like smoke, you know, and you can see the lights of the helicopter coming, like it's coming through the smoke. But then when it emerges out of the smoke, it's in the hand of the D-Rex, and the D-Rex is holding it almost like a, and it just is like biting like it. And it just rips this helicopter in half. So now they're way of getting out, but they find that there's a boat that they can get to. So that's their last stitch effort is, we got to get to this boat. Jonathan Bailey, Rupert Friend. I can't remember how he enters back into the picture, but
he just like drives back and like the Rancor is like coming after him or something. And there's the bars and they open them and everybody gets out. And then the Rancor is coming, but then Rupert Friend comes and hits it. And then the Rancor just like gets distracted and grabs him, of course, and bites his head off. He gets his comeuppance, you know, like, oh, we knew that was going
to
happen.
Arm falls down that was handcuffed I felt like this was sort of a reference to, it felt like a reference to Samuel L. Jackson's arm from the first one. Yep. You know, there were actually several visual. I mean, I don't know if you noticed at the beginning when they're in the museum and they're dropping the banner that says "When Dinosaurs."
Noticed that.
It was very overt little visual.
Yep.
Nod to the first one, but while Rancor is busy eating Rupert, they're all jumping onto the boat. The boat kind of won't. They're having a hard time getting the engine to start, and Mahershala Ali, to buy them time.
Yeah.
Light there, and this is the scene from the trailer where he's. He tries to distract the D-Rex and gets the D-Rex to follow him into the, and I personally don't know why the movie makes the decision it makes here. Like,
I don't either.
Mahershala Ali sacrifices himself to help this family and Scarlett Johansson and Jonathan Bailey escape.
Yeah.
They escape on the boat. And then at the last second, he shoots up a flare and they see that somehow he got away from the D-Rex and he's out in the water, and they turn around and they go and pick him up. And I just was kind of like, well, then what was it just felt so tacked. It felt like they probably shot multiple versions of that. And
that my guess was there's two options or maybe three, but my thought was, okay, they filmed the ending. They tested it and audiences hated that Mahershala Ali didn't make it. Mm-hmm. So they either filmed it multiple ways and then just like, oh, well, the audience likes when he lives better. So that's the one that they went with.
Right.
I feel like it's something like that, but it really, they don't show you how he survives. And it's just, he doesn't even say anything like how he survives. And even all my kids came up and they're like, dude, how did that guy live? And I was like, good question. I don't know.
Went underwater and swam away. I don't know. Yes. Like,
my wife was very happy that he lived because she really liked it, which I love Mahershala Ali, but it seems like his sacrifice should have died. I feel like that character should.
Yeah. But then this movie ends in a way that several movies in this franchise have ended. Yeah. That always makes me kind of go like, wait a minute. like Jurassic Park 3, one of the big set pieces of Jurassic Park 3 is when they're in the pterodactyl enclosure and it's showing us like how dangerous and how scary the pterodactyls are. Then at the end of the movie, they're flying away in a helicopter and there's all these pterodactyls that are flying alongside them. And they're like, oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
They're coming with us. And it's like, wait, no, they were just trying to we just did a whole thing where they can't come with you. Like that's bad. Yeah. They need to stay back there on the island. Yeah. This happens like a lot in this movie where they'll just sort of be like, the movie's over now, but it's like, no, but we have, and this movie does the same thing where we just established that the waters around this island are full of like Spinosauruses and the Mosasaur and all these dangerous dinosaurs, but they're just like, now that the movie's over, it's fine that we're in a boat and we're sailing away. I'm like, what if that boat gets attacked by the Mosasaur? They also established in this movie that dinosaurs can't really survive outside of the climate that's close to the equator. That's the whole point of the thing. And little Dora takes her baby Triceratops, Dolores, with her at the end of the movie. And I'm like, but Dolores can't live where you're going.
Dolores is going to die.
She's going to die. But the movie's just like, movie's over now, so it's fine. Yep. I feel like that happens a lot in these movies where they're like, it's over now, so it's fine. Don't worry.
That feels very, very appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah. But that is, they're driving away on their boat, and I guess they're going to be fine.
Yeah. You know, that's what the movie tells us.
And that's the end of Jurassic World Rebirth. And I'm sure there's more where that came from. We can look forward to more. So,
yeah. And then, Jonathan Bailey does. She's like, well, Scarlett Johansson's like, well, what should we do with the samples? Jonathan Bailey's like, you get to choose. Which their romance did not work at all for me.
No.
Like, it was nothing. Again, like, let's just, if you want that to be the movie, let's focus on that. But no, didn't work.
Get rid of the family.
You get to choose.
And focus on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you get to choose. And she's like, all right, let's give it to the world. And then it like ends. And I was like, all right. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. But it's like, all right, fine. Yeah. Okay. Scores. Jurassic World Rebirth. If this is your first time watching our show, we give scores out of 10, 10 being the best. We give a score for technical rating. That's the script, the acting, the technical construction of the film, the effects, cinematography, all that stuff, just the nuts and bolts of it. We give a score for the ending. How well did the movie stick the landing? We give a score for rewatchability, a score for cultural significance and impact, and a subjective score. So Kramer, what is your technical rating for Jurassic World Rebirth?
My technical rating, I am giving a 6.5. Visuals were amazing. The actors did a good enough job, some fun sequences, but overall the story itself, just there were too many protagonists, too many threads. They really needed to pare it down. If they really want, I mean, Jurassic Park is such a great movie, and it's just so much more simple than this. And this is just a little there's just a little too much in here from the screenplay part, and also just kind of from the direction where Gareth Edwards just kind of takes a little too much time with things that he could have sped through a little bit or had a little bit better pacing in some of those scenes. So, yeah.
My technical score is also a 6.5. I mean, movies like this, you've always got to give it up for the effects team.
Yeah.
They're doing everything that they can to bring something to the screen that looks, that's really, you know, visually stunning. When it comes to the creature design and the creature animation, it all looks really, really good. The sequences for the most part are executed pretty well, and there's some pretty good, you know, tension and some fun sequences. But yeah, the screenplay is just, it's fighting with itself a lot. I feel like they needed to focus on one storyline. I think there's too many tropes in this franchise where they feel like they need to do certain things that I don't think they need to do. I don't like this weird storyline that people are just like, that they're constantly telling us, you guys are sick of this. That's what we have to keep reinventing it. And I don't like how cynical the writing has gotten for this franchise. And so I've got to dock points there for sure. How about the ending of this movie?
The ending, I gave a 6. Again, it was fun, but I felt like Mahershala Ali should have died, just to kind of make that character, just make it a little bit more meaningful. But overall, Rupert Friend got his, you know, he got what was coming to him, and I mean, the stories kind of converged, so, you know, but wasn't great, but good enough.
Yeah, I like the D-Rex sequences. I wish that the movie hadn't spoiled the D-Rex so much in the trailer. I wish I didn't know that that's how the movie was going to end. Mm-hmm. I gave the ending a 6 as well, because it's fine, mm-hmm. and you could do worse, but you could do better. Yeah. And I wish that the movie had not decided to kind of just tell me what the ending was going to be before I saw it. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have discovered more. And I will say this too, even as cool as like the whole helicopter, like coming out of the fog, yeah, yeah, and be, they did that reveal in this movie so many times where, yeah, like, so, yeah, where something would be like, it would look like one thing and then it would turn into something, you know, they, yeah, did that, you could so always many tell times. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I almost expected it to happen to Mahershala Ali again when they turned around and he was like swimming.
I did too.
I was like, is the thing gonna like grab him and eat, yeah, him at the last minute? And then I was gonna think, and if they do that, then why? Why would we even go? You know,
but I thought I had the exact same thought process.
It felt like they were framing it that way.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that's what they even shot. But then it's like, yeah, you can't just anyway.
Yeah.
I just thought the ending was just sort of like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
But I still have this thing of like, well, why would they be any safer in the boat this time than, yeah, they were before? Yeah. And why is it okay to bring the baby Tyrannosaurus back? Like, I, whatever movie, it's over, you know?
Yeah.
How about the rewatchability for this one?
Rewatchability, I did as a 6. I could rewatch it. I mean, it's a fun movie. You know, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I'm not going to run back to watch this again. So.
My rewatchability, I've got it at a 4. I just, oh, okay, nice. When it comes to these films for me, I rarely ever want to watch anything other than the first one. Sometimes, yeah, I'll watch the second one. I like the second one, and I can watch, like, there's aspects of 3 that I find enjoyable, and there's aspects of Jurassic World that I like, but, yeah, mostly if I want to watch a Jurassic Park movie, I'm just going to watch Jurassic Park. And this is definitely, I have never seen Fallen Kingdom again. I've never seen Dominion again. And I'll probably maybe see this movie maybe one more time in my life. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know what? Yeah. I think I'm being a little too generous. I need to give it a 5.
Yeah.
There you go.
How about the cultural impact of this film?
Cultural impact, I am giving a 6 because it is making a really big splash overseas. It's making a big splash here too. So, I mean, it is a lot better than Dominion, you know, and mm-hmm. Fallen Kingdom. So, but also, I don't think it's going to have the biggest impact in the world. You know, I mean, Jurassic Park itself is a 10.
Right.
So anyway, but yeah, 6 felt very average.
Yeah. For cultural impact, I put it at a 7 just because it is kind of crushing at the box office right now. Mm-hmm. And it just means that we've got more of these in the future. It just means that, like, the franchise financially, as a financially viable property, is alive and kicking, and will continue to go for better or worse. So, how about the your subjective score?
My subjective score is a 6.5. It was fun being with my kids. I'm glad my son liked it. Like, I looked over, which was really fun. So he brought 2 friends to the movie, and they were, you know, certain parts, they were just like, oh, and they were like so into it, you know, so that was a lot of fun. My wife really liked it. And so I had an enjoyable experience, but all the problems that we talked about couldn't, you know, bring it to a 7. I said at the beginning of the show, the best score that this could get is a 7. I don't think it got there. So 6.5, it's fun enough.
I think I would have had more fun if I had had the experience you had where I got to watch it with some watching it with your kids and being able to be like, I remember I was their age watching these movies, you know, mine's 5.5, nice. Subjective. I just, you know, it's one of those movies where I'm like, it's just above halfway for me where I'm like, you did what you needed to do and my expectations were really, really low. It wasn't offensively bad the way that Dominion was or Fallen Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And, but it's also it's fine. For me, it was just fine. So 5.5 is where it is for me.
Works.
And, that's our scores for Jurassic World Rebirth. That's our breakdown. If you would like to keep up with what we're doing next, we are watching James Gunn's Superman, because that is taking the world by storm right now. It's not doing quite the numbers that Jurassic World Rebirth did in its opening weekend. But the response from audiences so far is overwhelmingly very, very positive. I hope this movie does have a big surge in you know, in its second and third weekend, because I've already seen the film. I quite enjoyed it. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it soon. It has had amazing word of mouth. I think it's going to do very well. I think it's going to do better than they have projected now that, you know, more and more has come out, obviously. But.
So if you want to watch along with the podcast, that's what we're watching next. We're watching Superman by James Gunn. Let us know in the comments. Did you watch Jurassic World Rebirth? What did you think? Did you enjoy it? What did you think of the D-Rex? What did you think of all the stuff? What did you think of the Dora, the Explorer Girl, and all that good stuff? Like, share, comment, subscribe to the channel, and we will see you next week.
Bye.